You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farad. Coming up, about a quarter of Wisconsin's school districts say they're having trouble hiring teachers. We'll find out what's behind Wisconsin's teacher shortage.
First, researchers at the UW Population Health Institute gave the state a B- on Wisconsin's 2016 health report card. It's a passing grade for the overall population, but a closer look at the numbers show health inequalities across the state and that some groups have more health problems than others.
David Kending joins us now. He's Professor Emeritus of Population Health Sciences. He founded the Institute of Medicine Roundtable on Population Health Improvement. Dr. Kending, welcome to Central Time.
And thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to dig into some of the disparities in health, but big picture, can you put that B minus into context for us? How does that compare to years past here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, actually, we've been doing this. We do this work at the Population Health Institute, sort of funded by our partnership program, and we've done four of these report cards now every 3 years, starting in 2007. And actually, sort of the bad news is that we've sort of been steady at B minus for overall health and worse grades down in the C and D for our health disparities. It doesn't mean that some of those things are getting better, like in general, the length of our lives in general are improving, but we measure ourselves in comparison to all the other states, and many other states are improving better faster than us, so that's why we've sort of stayed the same over this period, which is obviously discouraging because we put lots of resources into healthcare and public health.
As I understand it, Wisconsin has been as high as sixth healthiest in the nation by national standards. Where are we now? What has changed?
Right. Actually, there is a similar kind of a report like this that comes out for all the states across the country. It actually was, we released ours at the same time. And we were actually last year, they do that every year. Last year, we were 24th. We've crept down from sixth or seventh a decade ago. Last year we were 24th. We went up to 20th this year, so that's good news. But actually, movement in a couple of those ranks, you know, may not be make that much difference. So we're down below where we'd like to be, below Minnesota and North Dakota and some of the places that we emulate and certainly think we should be doing as well as.
To sum up what you're measuring in this report, as I understand it, we're looking at quantity of life, how long we live, but also quality, how healthy we are while we're living. Do I have that right?
That's correct. We use half, and if in this particular report, we do the grades based on both of those things. The life years are the mortality rates at different ages, you know, for kids or older people. But the other half, it's called something called unhealthy days. It's a measure that comes out of the CDC, and essentially they ask people in a survey, lots of Wisconsin residents, how many days in the last 30 days were you unhealthy, either for physical health or mental health reasons? And so that's our measure of how healthy you are given the year of life that you're in. And we blend those together into a single grade.
Talking to Dr. David Kending about a new report card on Wisconsin's health. Let's get into these disparities now, because as I go through this report, and you point this out in the summaries of the report, there are groups that do way, way worse on almost every measure I looked at. I want to start, first of all, with minority populations, African Americans and Native Americans across the board. It seems like their report card looks a lot worse.
Well, it is, and that's nothing, unfortunately, that's nothing new. It's been that way, you know, for a long time. But we find in almost every measure of both the length of life and the quality of life, you know, really unacceptable low grades for Native American and African American citizens. I have to tell you, though, that almost as bad on disparities are those people with, say, less than high school education. They have bad performance across all kinds of health measures as well. Education is the measure we use in this particular report to talk about disparities, socioeconomic disparities, as opposed to racial and ethnic ones. And of course, many racial and ethnic minorities also are lower income or have lower education rates. But for those whites with low education or low income, they're not doing so well either.
Right. That's the other striking thing about this report. It looks like a big health penalty for people at high school education or lower. So this is kind of a marker, as you say, of socioeconomic status. Maybe what are some of the causes, maybe hopefully, that we could fix behind that particular disparity?
Sure. Well, so our Population Health Institute has sort of, over the last 20 years, I mean, we've worked off of and gotten, frankly, famous for a model of producing population health that talks about four kinds of factors: clinical care, health behaviors, social and economic factors like education and income, and the physical environment. And it's a balance of all of those things. Actually, in our particular model, we actually rank the social factors like education and income and social support and behaviors as having the highest weight in producing, you know, outcomes overall. So, I mean, it makes it a very complicated picture, unfortunately, and it kind of means that we have to work on all of those things, but some of those are within our means. I mean, everyone wants, you don't have to be a healthcare person to, you can be a business person and say, we need better education, educated kids entering the workforce. We need, living family wage, better jobs. I mean, that's an important part of the problem, but it's not the only part. We've got to have access to clinical care and affordable clinical care, and we have to all work on our health behaviors of smoking and drinking and the things we know about, and we have to protect our physical environment, air quality, water quality, our housing stock. So it's all of those things going together.
So those groups on the downside of this report card, minority populations, African Americans and Native Americans in particular, lower income maybe populations as represented by the people with lower health quality, they could be facing a quadruple whammy. Maybe they have less access to accessible health care. They can't afford it. Worse educational opportunities, low income, and health behaviors, maybe disparities there. They could be facing all four of those problems at the same time.
That's exactly correct. I mean, you've got it. And it's a complicated picture, but it's the true picture and how it works. I mean, one thing, let me just take this moment to make the point that a lot of people seem to focus these days. I mean, the good news is that the health behaviors word is out there, and people are understanding that physical activity and nutrition and obesity and tobacco use and alcohol use, these are important health factors. You know, 30 years ago or 40 years ago, you know, maybe smoking, but those weren't so well appreciated. But sometimes people think that that's just sort of a, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and don't do it. And I mean, of course, we all have to watch our helpings at Christmas and Thanksgiving dinner, but particularly with people with lower education, with lower income, these choices are hard. I mean, we talk about making the healthy choice an easy choice, and some of that, you know, then so those things are tied together. We can't get one without working on the other in many cases.
Let's get into that physical environment part of things, because I can imagine someone with low income might not be able to afford to live a place with good water. So they might have a higher lead in their water or the paint in their buildings. They might be in a more polluted place. Are these the kind of things we talk about with the physical environment? Oh, less access to exercise outside, too, for that matter?
Yeah, that's right. All of those things. And and when we look at us, this particular report that you're looking at, our report card, doesn't deal with those causal factors. But say in the one that just came out that I mentioned across the country, we rank, again, 23rd in the country across those environmental factors, which do include air pollution and violent crime and occupational facilities, you know, some of those kinds of things. So they're very much in the picture.
If there was, so looking at this report and then the factors you consider that underlie these findings, magic wand, you can do one thing to target these groups who are getting F's and D's on the report card. What is the one intervention that you would like to see happen, and who would have to take the lead on it?
Well, everybody wants to know what's the silver bullet.
A big first step.
Okay. So actually for me, I mean, you can't say that any of these things are not important. Mm-hmm. But for me, and actually I'm a former pediatrician, more and more people are impressed with the first 3 years of life, or the first 1,000 days they talk about, and how so much is set for the future in terms of your brain development, in terms of your ability to get educated, to get a job, to even to have the benefits of medical care. So not only just the infant deaths that need to be prevented. I mean, those are shocking statistics. But even through the first year, couple years of life, with early childhood preparation and education and stimulation and good health care, I mean, I think if you said I only could put a dollar into one thing, I would. And actually, interestingly, it's one of the few places where there's relatively decent return on investment data for those kinds of early year investments, not just in overall social outcomes, but in health outcomes as well.
We're talking to Dr. David Kindig, Professor Emeritus of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison, looking at the state's health report card and the health gaps between different groups in Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think of Wisconsin's score on the state health report card? Do you see health in your community getting better or maybe getting worse? Have you seen any of these health disparities firsthand in your life? Are there health issues that you think need more attention? Our number is 800-642-1234.
And if you see this kind of early child health intervention going on in your community that Dr. Kindig was just talking about, love to hear about that too at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now with Dr. David Kindig, Professor Emeritus of Population Health Sciences, talking about the state's health report card, which shows that Wisconsin has room for improvement and some major disparities, depending on who you're looking at.
You can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think of Wisconsin's grade on the state health report card? What health issues in the state do you think need more attention and which need it the most? And tell us if you see the health of your community getting better, worse, or maybe staying about the same. Do you see the health inequalities that we've been talking about where you live? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers. Jonathan is with us in Madison. Jonathan, hi.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Jonathan?
I guess what I wanted to bring up is I think that education at a young age is really important. I grew up, I'd say for the first 18 years of my life, I was obese. And I overcame that after I graduated high school. And I think that the biggest thing for me was getting educated. And I wish I would have gotten better education in school and also from my parents, because growing up, both my parents have high school educations, and that's kind of where their education ended. And I just found that it was really important for me later on in life that I was educated about how to eat and all of that.
Jonathan, thanks so much for the call. Dr. Kindig, health education at an early age, not just in schools, he's saying, but from parents as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you asked me for the number one thing, and that's what I said. And so he just reinforces that. You know, another thing about education, I mean, everything that we're talking about investing in, you know, it takes money in a resource-starved world. I mean, healthcare, schools, environmental programs, whatever. I think that education is an investment that actually crosses party lines and crosses, I mean, I think liberal people as well as business people, you know, understand that in order to have a healthy community where there's well-educated workers, you know, where there's people with jobs that can buy things. I mean, so I think that's a place where we can come together, even though on some other things, you know, we might have some political differences.
Jonathan, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Dr. Kindig, you used the phrase return on investment earlier, referring in particular to early child health care and education.
Right.
Is this a case where maybe we pay a little bit now at those early ages and face lower healthcare costs down the road?
Yes, I think it actually is true. I mean, it's really hard research to do to get these kinds of things done. But actually, in this particular field, a Nobel laureate in economics from Chicago, University of Chicago, James Heckman, has done groundbreaking work on the multiplier effect that those early investments have, not only in healthcare and healthcare costs, but for the society in general. So that's really well-established work that we can all build on.
I want to get into one of the factors kind of behind these numbers again. One of the ones you mentioned is healthcare access.
Yep.
Obviously a huge political issue in the United States, not just availability of doctors, but affordability of healthcare services. What would you want to see there, acknowledging that this is a huge issue?
No, well, absolutely. But it's, it's one of the four determinants, actually. In our model, we actually think that the behaviors and the social factors are slightly more important even than clinical care. But clinical care is obviously important. So, people have to have insurance coverage. They have to have it where that they can afford it. It has to cover the kinds of things that are needed, and people have to have providers that they can reach to utilize it. So, we've made progress over the years on that. I've been involved in that kind of policy my whole career for 40 or 50 years, but it continues to be an issue and a struggle, as you know. So, but we're not going to, even if we say it may not be the most important thing, it's critical and it's got to be in place and everybody has to have it.
We are talking about the health of Wisconsin, a new report card out. Dr. David Kindig is with us. He's involved in this report, Professor Emeritus of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison. B- is the overall grade, but that maybe hides some real disparities, the report says. Some minority groups, African Americans, Native Americans, much lower results, and people at lower education levels, maybe lower socioeconomic levels, see a much worse health outlook. Still time for you to join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. And Dr. Kindig, I don't know if this new report card would mention this, but we've talked to your colleague, Dr. Patrick Remington,
sure,
about a couple factors lowering what was once a growing lifespan. Obesity, a big one, and also worries about opioid prescription epidemics in certain populations. Is that something you think is showing up in this report card?
Report card, yeah, we don't measure those factors specifically, although actually we have a whole companion product here called County Health Rankings, where and Dr. Remington and I and other colleagues have been involved with that over the last decade, where we actually rank the health of every county in the country, and not only the outcomes, but you can actually go into it and look at how every county in Wisconsin compares across the country on any of these things like tobacco rates and obesity. I don't think we have opioid stuff in their deaths yet. But those are growing trends that point things in the wrong direction. And actually just, I think, 2 weeks ago, there was a national study showing that it may be for the first time life expectancy might not be increasing every year. In the past, it varies in different states and whatever, but we get a little bit longer life every year, both for men and women, and there's some indication that that has at least flattened out right now, which is really shocking in the U.S. history of this stuff, and possibly could even be going down. And some people are saying it could be obesity or it could be some of these opioid deaths that are contributing to that, along with other things as well.
That reminds you, your report also broke things down by age group.
Sure.
What stood out to you there?
Yeah, well, we just look at it in every age group, and we always worry a lot about kids. Infants who are in Milwaukee or who are minority or have parents with lower education, older adults, male older adults didn't do as well as some other age groups. So, it's across the lifespan that we have to worry about this.
Let's bring on another caller now. We've got Isaac with us in Appleton. Isaac, hi.
Hey, my question was just real quick, to the nature of the study. You said it was by word of mouth, or like not word of mouth, but you ask them how they felt. Do you think that some people in poor communities feel less healthy than other people, and so they would say they're less healthy?
Yeah, well, that's a great comment. That's a great question. On the methods, it's actually a national survey that comes out of, so it's a telephone survey that comes out of the CDC. So that's always something you have to worry about. I mean, it's a very perceptive question, and good for you for worrying about the methods. When they ask the question, how many days in the last 30, you know, were you unhealthy physically and mentally, and we add those up, it gets a little more precise. I mean, it's not exactly, are you just feeling bad? It's how many days, we didn't say, couldn't you go to work or couldn't you get up and about, but that's the implication of it. So the people that do that national study, you know, feel better about that, but you make a good point, and what we know is only as perfect as the data that we gather in, and sometimes there are limitations of it.
Thanks a lot for the call, Isaac. As we wrap up, Dr. Kindig, what do you help people do with these report cards that come out every 3 years?
Right. Well, not specifically with this 3-year report card. I mean, we want to use it to motivate local community groups, hospitals, United Ways, you know, to action in all of these areas. But as I mentioned, we have this companion county health rankings program right here in the same floor where I'm speaking from, and they actually have a team of coaches, 11 people on our staff, who actually reach out to people across the state and around the country when they say, look at this on our report card. What can we do about it? This is the thing we want to work on. So there's quite a bit of expertise here in helping people try to take action, you know, working with local public health and with local providers and other community groups to try to improve. That's what this is all about. It's about getting healthier.
Dr. Kindig, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. David Kindig, Professor Emeritus of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison. He founded the Institute of Medicine Roundtable on Population Health Improvement. He was with us there to talk about a new report card on the health of Wisconsin in 2016. You can find a link to some info about that report card and share your thoughts on health initiatives in your community over at the Central Time Facebook page.